To fear God and to heed his word is the message that's in the Bible today, and it's a universal message. It wasn't just in Old Testament times. It's carried through the Old Testament. The pillars of our beliefs and Christianity today rest in the teachings and the learnings from the Old Testament, in the history of the world and the history of the tribe of Israel, of the Jews. And this morning we've got a reading from Isaiah chapter 8, Ray's going to bring us, verses 11 to 20. And it's all about a warning from Isaiah, and this is 700 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And this warning came because of the godlessness of the people of Israel and Judah. God told Isaiah to prophesy against the nation, warn them of what was coming, warning them that the Assyrian army would invade the land. And this is part of this warning of Isaiah's. Many thought Isaiah, Jeremiah and all the other prophets were servants of the enemy for speaking against their own people. But they were only voicing the concern that God had given them, that they had turned away from God. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Dave. The Isaiah chapter 8, page 986 in the Pew Bible, starting at verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. He shall be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Thank you, Ray. This prophecy is still in force today and will remain until the Lord returns to restore his people. For today, even today, the 21st century, most of Israel still reject their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, most of the world do not consider Jesus today. But in verse 16, the testimony would remain and with the faithful remnant. The faithful remnant. We are here this morning as the faithful remnant, the believers today, and we know the end from the beginning. We know that Christ is coming to judge the world. We know there's the battle of Armageddon. The world that does not know God has got no idea what the Bible is teaching us about the end times and what's to come in the future. Isaiah would wait for the Lord's deliverance, for the national salvation for the faithful. And in verse 18 in particular here, I want to just remind you of that verse 18. For I am here, and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. This is Isaiah had his two sons, and they were with him in this. But this verse doesn't just, Isaiah there is speaking about his two sons, but this verse is also shows that Christ had, like Isaiah, fully identified himself with mankind. Isaiah identified himself with his people, although he was speaking about the tragedies that were to come because of the idol worship of his people. Christ came in the flesh to pay the penalty of our sins, and that price was paid on the cross. By Christ taking on a human nature, in his human nature, he relied upon God during his ministry here on earth. And during his ministry on earth, and even through the gospel and through the Bible teaching today, is calling us to join with him in glory. The book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews. There's so much learning and so much teaching here. It's just a marvellous book. And here we have more this morning of the profile of Jesus Christ. We're looking at the profile of Jesus Christ. We're seeing how great and mighty and how loving and merciful he is. And we're looking at Jesus Christ, our Saviour, as what he has done. We're trying to analyse just how great and perfect our Saviour is. This is the profile of our Saviour. And today we see him as our captain, our leader, and our brother. Jesus is not only the last Adam, but he's also the captain of our salvation, the pioneer, the one who opens the way for others to follow, the firstborn from the dead. Let's open our scriptures this morning to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. 10 to 13 of chapter 2. And the writer here says, "For it was fitting for him," that's Christ, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." What a picture we're getting here of Jesus Christ. And verse 12, saying, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Here am I and the children whom God has given me." The children whom God has given me. Amen. And amen. He's the one that opens a way for others to follow. He could only be the perfect Saviour of all who believe if he first endured suffering and death as a human. And this is precisely why he gave up all the glories of heaven and came to this earth and was born in a stable. He was born and took on human flesh to be our perfect Saviour, our perfect Saviour. His suffering and death on the cross qualified him to be the perfect representative of fallen humanity. And not only that, he hung on that cross to suffer in their place. This describes the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Christ for sinful man, that he gave up his glory to become a man, clothed in flesh. And he regained that glory when he arose and ascended back to heaven. He gave up all the glory and came to this earth and walked on this earth as a man, but also fully God. paid the price of man's sin on the cross, that of death. The wages of sin is death. And then he regained all of that glory as he ascended back into heaven. And now, he shares that glory with all who trust in him for their salvation. In John 17 verses 22 to 24 we read, and where Jesus is praying, and he says, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." This is what our Saviour has done for us. "The glory, God, that you have given me, I have given to them." They're going to share my inheritance. They're going to be with me in glory. They are my brothers. "The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." This is what Christ has done. He's brought us from a place of where we're headed for a lost eternity. He's brought us to a place where we're going to be one with Jesus in the household of God. It's hard to put your mind around that. "I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." That's the believers. You have loved them as you have loved me. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." John 17 verse 22 to 24. What a passage of scripture. And it brings us into the picture that Christ has for all of eternity to be with him. He's bringing many to glory. And every one of those that he's bringing to glory has been redeemed at a great price. The blood that was shed on the cross. As a church, as a believer in the church, as a member of the true church that belongs to Jesus Christ, we are justified by faith. That is, we believe in him. We believe in his work on the cross. We believe in his promises of bringing us, the believers, to glory when we make him Lord of our life. In this, Christ is united to us and we to him. He has united himself to us. He took on flesh to become part of us. And we to him. We become part of him when we are born again, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. We receive the Spirit of God. Jesus took on the flesh of man to unite himself with men on this earth so that he could pay the price of the sins of men. And bringing us to glory, he's indwelled the Holy Spirit of God within us that we can be part of him. And this is the tragedy that's in the world today, that no person who has not claimed Jesus Christ as Lord of their life has received the Spirit of God. We are separate from the world. It begins here in this life. It begins here in this church. It begins here in this heart this morning. And it goes from here to all of eternity. To all of eternity. You see, Jesus is the sanctifier. He came to this earth to sanctify all those who believe in him. We've spent a great deal of time going through Matthew's Gospel. And we would love to go through all of the Gospels and read of all the experiences and the teachings of Jesus Christ in this earth as he sanctified all the believers. He is the sanctifier. He alone is our Saviour. And we are the sanctified. We are the reason that Christ took on flesh and was to become the leader of our salvation. We are spiritually one. We are his brethren. We are his brothers. In verse 12 of our reading this morning, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. I will sing praise to you. This is a quote from Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. This is a psalm of David, speaking about how he would sing the praises of God in the assembly here on earth. And this is also a reference to Jesus Christ, where he refers to his church as his brethren, the true believers. Then we and Jesus, the Son of God, share the same nature. We are filled with his Holy Spirit. We belong to his family. We are adopted into the household of God. The household of God. We are partakers of God's life. We are partakers of God's holiness. Can you begin to imagine? And can you imagine what it was like back in when we were children and we were brought into another position in school or after school, where we took on extra responsibility? It made us feel great. We were somebody. We were going places. And we took on extra responsibility. Can you imagine what we're saying here with this passage of Scripture that's before us today, that we are becoming the house, part of the household of God, brothers of Christ? This is Jesus, what he has done for us. And all of this because he first loved us. He first loved us. And he gave himself for us before we were 1,000 years before we were born, 2,000 years before we were born. This is Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Being in the household of God. Look at the other side. Where were we before we become part of the household of God? Before we believed in Jesus Christ, before we were under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us we were at enmity with God as non-believers. We were on our way to hell as non-believers. But through Jesus Christ and the cross, through Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection by faith, as his brothers, we are headed for eternal glory through faith in Jesus Christ. What a marvel of God's grace. Of God's grace. What a marvel when we see the consecration of Christ, that he gave himself to be a servant. He allowed himself to be battered and bruised by the plan and the plotting of religious leaders of the day, might I add, that he could die for us. Not only would he die for us, but he would rise from the grave. He'd be our advocate in heaven. Look, Father, I paid a price. I've paid the price. All those people down there that believe in me have made me Lord of their life. They are yours. This is the one we're worshipping today, the one who is leading us. Some of us probably more slower than others, but we're getting there. We're getting there. He's leading us to heaven. He's taking us at our pace, teaching us what we know today so that we'll be set for tomorrow, and he'll teach us more tomorrow that we'll be ready for the next day. He has provided the way for our sanctification, our being made fit to enter heaven by the word and the work of the Holy Spirit. And for us, where do we stand in all of this? It was not possible for us to be in this position without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And we get back in the Old Testament again and we look at all that teaching of the Hebrews, the teaching of the sacrifices in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple. And look at Solomon when he built this beautiful big temple to God. What was the first thing on his mind? He wanted to make sacrifices to his God. So what do? They go out and they get 120,000 sheep. Now every sacrifice has to be an animal of 1 year of age without blemish. Without blemish. No cripples. Nothing with a black spot. Nothing with a droopy ear. Without blemish. 20,000 head of cattle were sacrificed to God for the building of the temple. We cannot begin to imagine 120,000 sheep. It was not possible for us to get anywhere near close to God without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, the captain of our salvation. The captain of our salvation, who has redeemed us from the pits of sin. He's redeemed us from the grips of hell, where Satan would so eagerly take us if he had opportunity. Verse 13 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, which Ray read to us this morning. This was primarily about Isaiah's two sons, but ultimately it was about Jesus Christ and his place at the head of those whom God has given him as children. For we are not only his brethren, but we're also God's children. We're adopted into the household of God. Here am I and the children God has given me. John 17:26, and I have declared to them your name. This is Jesus. I have declared to them who have faith in me, I've declared to them your name, Father, and will declare it, that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. This is our Saviour. This is a profile of Jesus Christ and what he has done. If Jesus had not come to this earth and became man, he could not take us from this earth to share in his glory in heaven, because the law was laid down. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid the price. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay for the sin. If we go out there and speed up that road and get caught and get fined, we've got to pay a price. The wages of sin, and there's no man that hasn't sinned, the wages of sin is death. So his incarnation, he's taking on the flesh, his crucifixion, his resurrection must go together, leading believers to glory. It's the whole package. Verse 10, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now this is not saying that Jesus was in any way imperfect while he was here on earth. Perfect here means complete, means making it effective, fully effective, making it fully adequate, making our salvation fully possible through faith. Jesus could not have become an adequate Saviour and our eternal High Priest had he not become man, had he not suffered and died. And so Jesus Christ is our all in all. He is our all in all. The love, now this is on each one of our hearts this morning, the love and the nearness of the Father has a new meaning. The love and the nearness of God, our Heavenly Father, has a new meaning when Jesus calls me his kin. His kin. Here am I and the children God has given me. I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. We are his brethren, his brothers. It all takes on a new meaning when Jesus calls me kin or brother or brethren. And not only that, we sit here this morning and we know that God is speaking to us this morning through his Son Jesus Christ, whom we have faith in. He has spoken to me, he has spoken to you, he's spoken to everyone through his Son Jesus Christ. What a Saviour! What love and what joy to behold is Jesus Christ our Saviour. And I pray this morning that we have a much clearer picture of all that Christ is and has become for us. I want to close this morning with a reading from Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, that's the last chapter in the whole of the Bible. Chapter 12 and chapter 13, verse 12, 13 and 14, where Jesus said, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He was with God at creation, and he will rule the earth at the finish. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city that God has prepared."